Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. Let's read the first four verses together here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I would like to, I don't want to say end our time together. That sounds too permanent. I want to finish out this particular weekend looking at the joy of our fellowship. The absolute joy of our fellowship. Hannah and I have traveled basically from the East Coast to the West Coast because of fellowship. You asked me to come. You asked, there's a lot of preachers in this country. There's a lot of preachers between us. And you asked me to come because of fellowship. Fellowship. And in thinking about how wonderful and special it is that God has given His people a true fellowship. It's bigger than relatives, it's family. One that we should cherish, one that we shouldn't take for granted. And in thinking on what is the basis and the grounds of our fellowship, I want us to look at this particular subject this morning. The joy of our fellowship. The joy of our fellowship. Now, as I said last night, I'll say again, I love the dictionary. I think everybody ought to just have a dictionary and open it and look it up. Webster's dictionary says, fellowship is companionship. It is people of the same interest, same activity, same feeling or experience. It is an association of friends. That's what fellowship is. An association of friends. We're in 1 John. Turn over to 3 John, just a couple of pages over. I just think this verse is so precious. 3 John, verse 14, it says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Isn't that sweet? Friends. Friends. That's a true fellowship, an association of friends. Now, back in 1 John 1, the end of verse 3, it says, truly, our fellowship, and this is an amazing statement. This is an amazing thing to get a hold of. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's think about what that's saying. Truly, our companionship, our friend-to-friend association is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's a fellowship I want to be a part of. The reason why we have true fellowship with each other is because our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That's the whole basis of our fellowship. We would not be here if it was not for that. We wouldn't be here if it was not for that. That is the basis of our fellowship. What could a brick mason and a computer guy and a member of the National Guard, who had to step out for a minute, what could all y'all possibly have in common? Really? What could you possibly have in common? God the Father and God the Son. It's not work. It's not age. It's probably not personal interest. God the Father and God the Son. What could possibly bring all of us together right now in a meeting hall in Yuba City, California? What could possibly do that? God the Father and God the Son. God the Father and God the Son. Verse 3 right here says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now I want us to look at this fellowship that God has given to us for just a moment. And I want us to start with what it is that makes us acceptable to be in a fellowship with Almighty God. We just read that we are in a fellowship with God Almighty, God the Father and God the Son. We are sinners by nature. And sinners cannot have fellowship with God Almighty. Not by nature. Verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And that's what we are, is darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Men are without form and void and dark. That's what man is by nature. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," that's in ourselves, that's in our sin, that's in everything that we are by nature, "we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light," which is Christ, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." Cleanseth. Hath cleansed us, does cleanse us, cleanses us. If we are in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, then that means the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. All sin. That had to happen. That was the only way that we could be allowed into a fellowship with God the Father. If we have fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, what that means is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. cleansed us from all of our sin. That is what had to happen in order for us to have fellowship with God. Our sin had to be dealt with. It had to be put away. We had to be totally cleansed from it. One of my favorite verses in the Scripture is Jeremiah 50, verse 20. It says, in that day, the sin of Israel is going to be sought for, and it shall not be found. And the iniquity of my people, it will never be found. It does not exist. It's gone. God is going to say, see if you can find one spot on them. It's not going to be found. Isn't that glorious? He will present us faultless. Can you imagine the joy of the Lord? Jude talks about Him with joy, presenting His people faultless before the throne of the Father. Spotless. In the presence of His glory. And that's what happened, is the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed us and purged us from every spot and every stain. The end of verse 5 says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The darkness of sin, it cannot dwell with Him. It cannot have fellowship with Him. And the darkness of sin is all that we are in this flesh. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So the only way that we could be allowed to enter into a fellowship with God the Father and God the Son was Christ the Redeemer had to come to us. And He had to enter into a fellowship with us. The only way we could enter into fellowship with Him was He had to enter into fellowship with us. A fellowship with our sin. He had to enter into an association with it. He had to enter into the feeling of it. He had to enter into the experience of it. And He had to shed His blood and die to pay the debt of that sin for us, to rid us of it. He had to take it into Himself in order to wash us and to cleanse us from every stain. He had to stain Himself with it. And He accomplished that on the cross of Calvary. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. And we hear these things and we cry, that is me. If you want to know who some of us are, that's me. I'm one of us. And we get so down on it, we cry, oh, my sin, my sin. We just get so consumed by it and so depressed by it. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you. The Scripture says, but you are washed. Don't you love how the Scripture does not deny our sin? It does not excuse our sin. It does not say, you are not as bad as you think you are. The Scripture says, you are so much worse than you think you are. But you're washed. It says, you are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So our fellowship with God is only because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washed us and cleansed us. Now, I want to flip back and forth a little bit between 1 Corinthians and Philippians. So hold your place right here and turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, the end of verse 8 says, the last little phrase at the end of verse 8, it says, that I may win Christ. Can we enter into that? If we just want to get down to the heart of it, what do you want? What do God's people want? What do you need come the end of this life? Is that not it? That I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. I want to know Him. This is life eternal, that we might know Him. He said that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection. I want to know the power and the experience of that resurrection with Him. Amen. And the fellowship of His sufferings. What is our fellowship? What is the basis of our fellowship? His sufferings. His sufferings. We all want and need for our sufferings to be found in His sufferings. We pray that His sufferings was our sufferings. There is a judgment to come outside of Christ. In Christ, it's over. Isn't that good news? It's over. Judgment is over. It's appointed unto man once to die. You did. How was it? It's over. It's over. That's our fellowship. His sufferings. That's the reason for our fellowship. That's the basis of our fellowship. That is the foundation and the focal point and the common interest. Our common interest is His sufferings. The suffering and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is solely what unites God's people. His accomplishment for us in that. That is our message. His sufferings and what He accomplished for us. That is our gospel. Everybody talks about the gospel. We're going to have a gospel singing. We're going to sing gospel songs and we're going to gospel this. What is the gospel? It's Him. He's the gospel. It's a person. He is our message. He is our gospel. He is our ministry. I want people to have, you know, houses and good, clean water and lots of humanitarian things. I want all that. But He's the ministry. He is the ministry. He's our all. The redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's our all. Hold your place here in Philippians and go back to 1 Corinthians. I told you we're going to just bounce back and forth here for a second. This time chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And don't we thank God for every brother and sister that He's called into this fellowship? Don't we thank God for each other? It's like we come in together and we have a moment of real. Everything out in that world is fleeting and this is real. worship around our Savior is real. This is going to be eternity. This is glory. This is a foretaste of glory divine. He said, grace be unto you. That's what I pray for you. I pray God's grace be to you and God's peace be on you. And he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means you believe. You believe the Word. You believe on Christ. Who shall also confirm you unto the end. He'll keep you. He'll keep you believing. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are three of my favorite words in the Scripture. Verse 9. God is faithful. I'm not, but He is. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every soul who is in this fellowship with God the Father and God the Son is called into it. And don't we love and thank God for the sovereign call? Don't you thank God that when He says, come, we come. He doesn't wait on sinners to hear His call. He doesn't wait on sinners to accept His call. He says, come to me, and we come to Him. And I've heard men say, well, you know, if He wants one of His own to come, He'll drag them kicking and screaming. That's not so. Every one of His people say, yes, sir, I would be happy to. I come willingly. I come gladly. I come running. I come running to you. All of God's people are called, sovereignly called, into this fellowship. They are all hand-selected by God the Father into this fellowship. He chose who He would allow into this fellowship with His Son. He did that before the foundation of the world. This privileged fellowship is of God. It is all of God. It's not something that any man or woman can decide to do or earn, or it's not even something that any man or woman is worthy of. He chose who He chose. And thank God, this is who He chose. He chose sinners. That's who He chose to be in this fellowship. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners, chief sinners. And that is such good news to me because that's what I am. That's what I am. I have to believe in my heart that every time I tell people I'm a sinner, they have to be a little puzzled by that. They have to be a little shocked. The preacher is admitting he's a sinner? Isn't that called scandal? Yes, I believe it is. I'm a sinner. But thank God that's who He chose to call into fellowship with His Son. That is such good news to me. God the Father chose this fellowship, and He chose to make it up of sinners. And in time, His Holy Spirit comes to each one of those sinners and notifies the sinner of His calling. And that's what the declaration of the gospel is. It is a notification of a call. It is a notification of what God has done for a sinner. He notifies that sinner, number one, that he is a sinner. That's something that we don't know at first. The Spirit comes and says, you're a sinner. Ah. And then He notifies that sinner that God the Father chose to save sinners. He notifies that sinner that Christ shed His blood to redeem sinners. And with that notification, the sinner is called into the fellowship and made so willing to come. Just so willing to come. Turn back to Philippians, this time chapter 2. Philippians 2. Verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any fellowship of the Spirit, if the Spirit has called us into this fellowship. And he went on to say, if there's any heart, that's what bowels means. If there's any heart and any mercy. Verse 2, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that's what fellowship is, being of one accord, one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And that's what fellowship is. That's what fellowship is. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what true fellowship is. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That right there is our fellowship. We all have this mind in us. How amazing it is that God Almighty, the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is God, He humbled Himself. He came to us in fellowship with us, took upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of this sinful flesh. You know, can you imagine how many angels fell with the adversary? But our Lord did not choose to take upon the nature of angels, did He? But He did for the seed of Adam, the seed of Abraham. He chose to, in fellowship, take upon the likeness of this sinful flesh, and He humbled Himself all the way down to the death of the cross. And because of that, God the Father has highly exalted Him, and we do too, don't we? God has given Him a name above every name, and we cry, Amen. And at the hearing of His name, I love the thought that in glory, and all of God's people do it right now in heart, but I just would love to hear Michael the archangel say the name, Jesus of Nazareth. And every soul there hits the dust. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses He's our Lord. That's our Lord. We're in fellowship on that. We're in total agreement of that to the glory of God the Father. Because He loved us, He put Him on the throne. He made Christ to be King. That's the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel. That's what all of God's people cling to and want to be identified with. The fellowship of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship of the hope that that gospel brings for sinners in the person and the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, go with me, if you would, back to 1 John chapter 1. Let me read some verses to you and then tell you something and I'll be done. 1 John 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. In closing, I want to read something to you that Charles Spurgeon told his congregation in one of his messages. He said, during this last week, and there's some words in here that I don't know what they mean. I'll just read them and we'll just assume we know what they mean. But in his preaching to his congregation, he said, during this last week, I have been with Brother Alford, a man in the congregation, another pastor, I don't know. During this last week, I've been with Brother Alford conducting prayer meetings. He used to travel and preach, you know, in different places throughout the week. And he, Brother Alford, told one evening a tale which I made him tell every evening afterwards. Everywhere they went, he said, Brother Alford, you tell it again. He said, I made him tell it every evening afterwards, for I thought it so good. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. He was a perfect heathen and never went to a place of worship, perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age. And having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse. While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die. And the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He had a little grandchild who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was. And he asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, that was allowed. She came in and he said to her, read the Bible to me, dear. She complied, and the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. Read it again, said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be, with a sense of guilt. At last, one day, she came to that passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is that there? He asked. Yes, Grandfather, replied the little girl. That is there. Is that there? Oh, yes, Grandfather, it is there. Then read it again. Read it again. She again read, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My dear, are you sure it is just like that? Yes, grandfather. Then read it again, dear. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then, he said, take my finger and put it on that verse. Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text? Yes, grandfather. Then, said he, tell them, alluding to his friends, that I die in the faith of that. And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into eternal rest. Spurgeon said, and I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God. And so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. That's our fellowship. That's our fellowship. May that be our fellowship now and forevermore. That'll never go away. Throughout all of eternity, in glory, we're going to be crying, thank God for the Lamb that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's our fellowship. Amen. Thank you all for having me. Thank you for having us. Thank you for letting Hannah come with me. It has truly been our privilege. We love you all in Christ. We sincerely do. We look forward to the next time.